The text for our meditation this morning is written in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 10 and 11. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. In Christ Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through Jesus the Savior. Amen. I've had the privilege of officiating at quite a few weddings now, and I've noticed that brides are very particular about their dress. Not only do they want it to look just right, but they're very protective of it too. I remember one particular scene that's been burned into my memory of about a 3 or 4 year old boy approaching a bride with a cup of soda. She was screaming at him. He had no idea what the problem was. He was related to her, but at that moment she wanted nothing to do with him. The thought of that soda ending up on her dress was horrifying. Brides are protective of their dress. Whether you're aware of it or not, you have wedding garments on. Garments that are worthy of protection. Garments that need to be spotlessly clean. The Bible tells us that we are all clothed in garments, but the garments that we have fashioned and we wear are stained with sin. In the book of Isaiah, we read in the 64th chapter that even our righteous acts are like filthy rags, and that we all shrivel up and, like the wind, our sins sweep us away. We've all become unclean. When you look at the garments that you are wearing, what stains do you see on them? The stains of repeated lies, the stains of viewing pornography, the stains of sexual impurity, the stains of cheating on a test. What stains do you have on your garments? When we look at God's law, his perfect holy law, and then look at what we are wearing, we cannot help but see how we have fallen short, how we've failed to be what God wants us to be, how we've taken the mud and grime of this sinful world and just rubbed it into what we are wearing. Who as a bride could approach God dressed this way? No one. But that's why Isaiah penned here that he rejoiced greatly, because he understood what the Messiah would do for him and for God's people. that the Messiah would bring a new garment for them to put on, a garment which Isaiah here calls a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness. Jesus fashioned your wedding garment. He did it when he was living a perfect life. If someone were to ask you, how has Jesus saved you? What would you answer? I think most of the time as Christians, not just Lutherans, but as Christians in general, we will say, well, Jesus died for us. And that is true. Jesus did die to take away our sins. But Jesus didn't just die for us. He lived for us. Here in this section from Isaiah, he is specifically focusing on what we call the active obedience of Christ. That is what he did in his life to fulfill God's law in our place. Jesus' garments never had one stain of sin. Not one particle of dust of iniquity clung to that garment. He truly lived a perfect life. And by faith and through faith, he has given that garment to you to wear. And to wear as your very own. So Jesus has covered all of your sins, no matter how dark a stain it is, when you look at it. Jesus' robe of righteousness covers that stain so that God cannot and will not see it. Can you imagine if that boy had kept going towards that bride and poured that soda on that dress? How she would have been devastated. But can you imagine if someone had miraculously come and just take that stain away? How much she would have rejoiced. Because what she thought had been ruined would have been restored. Jesus has restored your garments. The guilt of your sins has been taken away. You can now stand before God in radiance and glory. Because that's the life that Jesus lived for you. Now this week, here at chapel, you're going to be looking at the transfiguration of Jesus. And if you are aware of that, you may have been wondering how this ties to the transfiguration. Tomorrow you're going to look at Matthew 17 and see once again Jesus transfigured, transformed before the disciples. Jesus is going to shine forth with the glory of his righteousness. And you will hear God the Father speak to him, saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." The glory that you see Jesus with on the Mount of Transfiguration is really the glory that you possess by faith in God's eyes. And when God the Father spoke to the Son on that mountaintop, he was not just speaking to Jesus, but he was speaking for you and to you. Because if you trust that Jesus is your Savior, you are in Jesus and Jesus is in you. And so when God the Father declares that he is pleased with Jesus, he is declaring that he is pleased with you. Therefore, don't just hear the Father speaking to Jesus. hear him speaking to you, declaring that he loves you and that he's well pleased with you because you are clothed in the garment of salvation. You are clothed in the perfect life of your Savior. So rejoice greatly. Shout for joy because God has caused this righteousness to spring up before all nations. And praise must come with it because God has rescued us, as sinful and as stained as we are. And he, through Jesus, has made us holy and blameless. May God continue to strengthen your faith as you live confident that Jesus has not only died for you, but that he has lived for you. To him be all glory, now and forever. Amen.